I'm not Phil. And I wouldn't be lying to you if I told you I had no name. Not anymore, at least. You see, I can relate to a loss of identity because it happened to me at a young age, when I was 12 years old, a mere child living in small town middle America. My fat prick of a cousin is to blame. See, he wore it out. My name, that is. He spent hours every day loafing around my house that spring because we had just gotten cable television. During these prolonged visits, he would repeat my name over and over again like some sort of droning mantra, the vocalization for some hidden eighth chakra in an attempt to rob me of peace and enlightenment. I would turn to him from whatever it was that I was trying to accomplish at the time and say,
"Hey, Buttle, that's my name. Don't wear it out."
This scenario played out the entire spring ad nauseam. But then one day, the stupid shit went too far. My warnings had fallen on ears that refused to hear and a brain that, to this very day, refuses to learn from its mistakes. What did he care? It wasn't his name, his identity that was at stake. It had been evident from my birth that I had been destined for future greatness. And the only thing that my fat prick of a cousin had been destined to do was either shovel shit or shoot a horse. That infamous moment, I was sitting Indian style on the den floor, assuming a sort of Midwestern lotus position, munching from a bag of nacho cheese Doritos, sucking on a glass 16-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew, watching the Transformers on the Superstation, when his enervating repetition of my name suddenly lost its meaning. The word had simply died. What had been the vessel of my being and ultimate reference point for human experience had become, in that moment, a meaningless, silly combination of simple, invented vocalizations. You could practically see his eyes bulge from his ugly, zitty, fat face when he'd realized just what he'd done. He just sat behind me on the flower print comfy chair, and I turned slowly to face him, saying with the most ice I could muster,
"Didn't I fucking tell you that was going to happen?"
At that moment, now frozen in my mind, I eased myself to my feet and walked over him with the intention to kill. He saw it coming, and in the way of all true weasels, tried to squirm out of the cushions and away from my silent wrath. But I was quicker. I managed to grab him by the shirt, stopping him in a serpentine downward slide, dug into the very fibers of his t-shirt, and pressed his girth deep into the seat cushions, and punched him one hard on the chest. Shocked from the pain and my anger, he clawed his way free of my grasp and ran up the stairs, shrieking like a little girl to my mother. Within 5 minutes, she was driving the dickhead home. Good riddance. That was more than 17 years ago, can you believe it? My fat prick of a cousin is now a fitness consultant in Los Angeles, pulling down $250,000 a year. And I'm living in my mother's garage. Unemployed. Stuck in place. No one can help. Not parents, not doctors. Certainly not therapists, and absolutely, positively not my fat prick of a cousin. I'm not Phil. I mean, how do you do it? How can one reinvent him or herself when they never really had the chance to be who they once were? I mean, how could I possibly be a Todd? Or Rich? Leonard? Crispin? Or...
Hey man, this podcast was written and directed by Ann Pendleton. Cool.